Hi, my name is Irene Rockwell, and you're listening to Conspiracy Beer Me.
Let's get this party going.
What's up, folks? It's Sam. Quick note from the guys. First off, don't worry, the whole podcast doesn't sound like this. This is just a note I had to put at the top. Good news, here comes the 9/11 episode. Bad news, we had to get rid of the first part because it sucked. So we're skipping straight to part two. Don't worry, it's better for it. Part two's hot. It's super funny. You're going to have a good time. You're going to enjoy it. Also, I think we're probably going to come back and do another episode on 9/11 because it's so vast. Anyway, thanks for listening to us for a whole year. It's been great. We love you guys. Enjoy the pod.
Here we go, guys. We're recording in 5, 4, 3. Welcome to Conspiracy Beer Me. I'm Justin Scranton.
I'm Shane Smith.
And I'm Sam Mazzani.
And we are back for part two, episode number 52.
Nah, you just call them 52.
Oh, is that what we're doing? We don't do ones and twos?
We just keep the number the same. We change the number too.
Oh, you're right.
I don't know. I feel like it fucks up the thing.
You want to start over on this?
Let's
do it.
Fine.
No. Let's just leave it.
Fuck, God.
People like to know how podcasts work.
Inside.
People want to see the inside.
Yeah.
All right, well, listen.
Episode 52,
part 2.
Since we last were here.
There was never an episode 52, part 1. Yes, I get it. It's confusing. Damn, I need to eat food. I feel like I'm on now.
Yeah.
You need to eat food?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're sponsored by Gay Chicken now.
Yeah, Chick-fil-A.
We're good.
When you're here, you can't be queer. I love it.
Oh, boy.
That
lady fucked up my meal, too.
Yeah.
What'd you do?
She put pickles on my sandwich.
Listen, Dana at Chick-fil-A.
No, it was Pam.
Pam.
And she goes, how do you spell your name? I said, my order is Shane. She goes, oh, S-E-A-N. I said, no, S-H-A-N-E. And she goes, wow, there's a lot of ways to spell that. No.
Hop on a Shane.
There's not.
Hop on a submarine.
There's really no other way to spell Shane, right?
Well, S-H-A-Y-N-E, also
a
comedian.
Oh, yeah, that's
neck tattoos.
S-H-A-I-N.
I mean, for a white guy.
For a white guy. He's white, too.
Okay, all right, listen. We are in our second part of our big
9/11
conspiracy. In the last episode, if you're just joining us, we basically pointed out that since the
something fishy is going on.
Yeah.
It took us an hour to make that conclusion.
The age of the budding internet, the September 11, 2001 attacks were immediately met with scrutiny as people realized that, like, there's other ways to share information, and what the government was sharing didn't make sense, and it led to all kinds of talks, eventually to a 9/11 commission, what's called the Truth Movement, even a film in 2005 called Loose Change. And in many ways, I think 9/11...
Why was it called Loose Change?
I've never seen
it. What was the joke?
I think Loose Change is like things that you leave in your pocket that you discover later, and you're like,
like 9/11.
Where did this come from?
$9.11 in my pocket now.
Yeah, you know, just like you know, like, whoa, wait. This doesn't all add up. Where did I get this change? You ever find change in your pocket, and you're like, what did I?
Yeah, and you add it up, and there's a half in there somehow. You're like, how would I have half change?
You get the loose change, and you go, done. You go, make the joke Shane made 30 seconds ago.
Okay,
all right.
Hey, all right.
Sorry, the Chick-fil-A is
gotcha.
Making me Chick-fil-A.
All right. The 9/11 has always been steeped in controversy, and there's a lot of things we talk to. The fact that the government, the President of the United States, said that we had no idea this was going to happen, yet there was clearly evidence that it was likely going to happen. They were warned by foreign governments that it was going to happen. We looked at the timeline of the attacks.
No, weird.
Which, if you didn't hear it, there was a solid 2 hours from the first hijacking to the last crash. Almost 2 hours on the nose. And the third plane crashed into the Pentagon 34 minutes after the second plane crashed in the World Trade Center, which we thought seemed a little unbelievable.
It's a long amount of time.
Yeah.
That's a long amount of time to not, you know, send out a fighter jet or two.
Enough time to get a plane in the air. Also, there's a lot of things about the Pentagon crash which don't make sense. The building was empty. Things you guys all know if you're listening to this podcast probably. But
yeah, or the last episode even.
So So today, what we're going to do is we're going to be like, okay, well, what do we make of all this? Like, we've got all these questions.
Well, also, who knew about it? Because we talked about people knowing about it in advance, but there were other people that knew about it that we didn't talk
like
about.
Like those little school kids.
We talked about the we talked about the government, but there are people.
Well, the government, we said, either knew about it or should have known about it because there were clear warning signs, even to
other
the point,
governments knew about
other
it.
Other governments knew, and they were warning our government, and they were even running simulations for this very thing, which led to this idea that, well, could this, on the one extreme, could this have been entirely staged by the government? And all of this, as we said earlier, is fueled by this idea that the what happened in 9/11, whatever you think happened, we definitely, the United States, use it as a justification for starting a war, which we're still in, basically.
Yes. Yep.
So, all right. So that's where we are. And now, as Sam pointed out, the question is,
what
who
is
knew? Like, what? What was this? Like,
who else knew about it?
Yeah, like, who would? And so, I think what you do is you say, who would benefit from this, right? And we'll start there. And I'll give you an example. I was watching a great James Bond movie the other day, Casino Royale. You ever seen that movie?
Yes, I have.
Casino Royale. And Casino Royale. At one point, M, is that her name? M. M says,
Laden. Osama bin Laden.
They're trying to figure something out, and they're like,
the name's Laden. Osama bin Laden.
And it's QAnon.
So she says that, yeah, after 9/11.
I like my martini shaken, no alcohol, not stirred. Because Muslims can't drink
alcohol. Yeah, well, I know.
Oh, okay. So she says before 9/11, somebody shorted stock and United and American Airlines.
Ooh, is that what the big short's about?
Is it?
Did United Airlines really lose money because one of their planes was using a terrorist attack?
Yeah, I'm sure stock went down. They're like, I'm not getting on one of those planes.
Stocks are incredibly finicky.
Yeah, but that just seems like.
But that's
not
the whole
their
plot of Casino
of
Royale. Is that this Casino Royale is a fictional thing about them trying to blow up an airplane?
Man, I don't
short
that
the stock.
At all.
They should just short the stock so the guy can.
I thought
get
it
the
was
money.
About being at a casino.
Royally. Why would you think that, man?
Yeah. No, but really, I remember watching him. Like, most of that movie's just him playing blackjack or whatever, poker.
Poker, but no. It's about Lashif, man. He's shorting stocks.
Who's Lashif?
He's the villain in there.
Are you talking about the most recent one or the old one?
The Casino Royale is an old one? It's a new one?
Is that not a remake?
I don't know. I don't watch.
They had Texas Hold'em back before.
Dude, I don't know. Texas Hold'em sucks.
Yeah, because you can't play. You lost all your money once.
I'm not good at any card games.
You're too nervous.
Just Pokemon.
Your anxiety is just no good. Okay.
Pokemon.
But anyway, this plot in Casino Royale is
I'll raise you 3 water energies.
Go Squirtle.
Go Squirtle.
Go to the polls. They have this actually was based in truth.
Okay.
Before the 9/11 crash, there were some puts that were so large that they actually investigated, and this is a quote, that never before on the Chicago Exchange were such large amounts of United and American Airline options traded. These investors netted a profit of at least $5 million after the September 11 attack.
Yeah, and that's such a tough thing to explain.
I know.
Yeah. Oh.
How'd you get all your riches? Well, a little birdie told me that I got a little insider info that the World Trade Centers were going to blow up. But the thing was, they were going to be United Airlines flights.
That's
so I said, Gary, short United Airlines.
Couldn't you just have easily have called the president? Well, but I wouldn't have made money.
Yeah, sure, I could have attempted to stop the attack.
Yeah.
You really have no bargaining power. Do you?
No.
You're like, look, I'm either going to short this stock or I'm going to
save people.
If you give me $1 million, I'll.
Now here's the thing:
crazy.
You could probably make just as much money as being the guy who thwarted the thing off of just press and movie.
You think so?
Absolutely, you could sell your story.
Yeah, you could.
You think you could if you could just get like a drone? They didn't have drones.
I'm saying if you came to me in August, okay, so I'm at like a restaurant, and I'm eating. Probably some sort of Middle Eastern cuisine. If this is the story's going to make sense.
Yeah, if it's on brand.
I'm eating something Middle Eastern, and in the corner there's a couple guys, and they're talking about it, like 9/11. We're going to take a United Airlines flight. We're going to crashed into the World Trade Center.
Yeah.
And I overhear that. I meet my hummus. I could either be like, all right, short the stocks, or tell people about it. I feel like you could make just as much money of being like, Sam was just a regular guy until he was eating Baba Ganoush by himself in a restaurant.
Especially
overheard.
If you have a good action figure deal.
You know what I'm saying, though?
Like, Star Wars was based on a real story. It was just a band of rebels with airplanes.
Right.
Crashed them into the Death Star.
Oh, shit. Well,
and they sold millions and billions.
Why don't you throw it out into the mic there?
Well, let me throw it out into the mic there. Let me throw this theory out because I never thought of this until now.
Oh, shit.
Get Tom Hanks to play in a movie?
What if you knew...
I'm the terrorist now.
...that 9/11 was going to happen, but
you were
powerless to stop it?
Oh, right.
Because...
Like you didn't have a mouth.
You knew it because you had traveled in time back.
Oh, wow. We're really tying these in.
We're really...
Mm. No, I mean, think about that for a second. I mean, like...
Yeah, but you can cause enough disruption in the time continuum by putting...
By shorting the stock.
Well,
but if you do that...
I don't think that really does much.
I think
that's
consequential. I mean, no, it's probably more consequential to
stop the whole thing. Yeah, right. Because if you stop 9/11, you may stop the very thing that makes you allow time travel, and then you're in that whole Back to the Future.
That's true.
Michael's from the year 2020, and he met his wife Sarah on 9/12/2001 at a grief event for 9/11, but he's given the opportunity to go back in time to stop 9/11.
But the only
problem is he'll never meet his wife.
Oh my God!
Is 1,800 lives plus endless war worth love? Find out this summer.
This is a great movie.
This is a good movie where everybody's just like, just forget your wife.
Also, look her up after the
fact. Just look her up.
She didn't die.
Tell her the story. Tell her what you did.
Yeah.
I don't want to lose her, man.
Yeah.
Oh man! Well,
that's a great movie.
That's a good plot.
So I mean, maybe these
huge
guys
plot hole immediately are like, just don't. Yeah, you're being an asshole. You're being highly. You've ruined 1,800 relationships plus whoever got sent to.
No, you made $5 million in cash.
I don't know, on the market, man.
Well, these guys that they shorted this stock. The stock goes down,
and he has no deniability in that situation either because he couldn't be like, I didn't believe it. I didn't think it was actually going to happen. But like, well, you did a bunch of stock trades based upon that information. All right, you got me on this one.
Yeah, I'm a time traveler.
So here's a couple of things that are fascinating about this. This was actually looked into because it was so suspicious that they looked into this and they made a very public denial that anything nefarious happened. They're like, no, we looked into this. It's all above board. However, they refuse to name the investors who made the $5 million.
Yeah, they want to dox them. That makes sense.
I mean, and so there's been widespread speculation as to who the investor was that made the money. Give you a guess, Shane.
Dick Cheney.
Yeah, I know.
You
great
told
guess.
Me yesterday.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Oh,
someone involved.
George Bush.
Close.
Saddam Hussein.
Close.
Mrs. Bush.
Not close.
Did they have a cat?
No.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Do you have a cat?
No, I don't.
Cats can't buy stocks. I don't know. Tell
Osama
me.
Osama bin Laden.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So he's funny. A day trader?
Which is so funny. He's like, hold on. Before we blow up this building, let's work all the angles
That is very smart.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing Osama bin Laden would do. Why? Because he was trained by the CIA.
I don't think he had to be trained by the CIA.
No, that's a good idea. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would have thought that was a good idea.
Yeah.
Man, it is kind of
make a little cash
ironic
on it.
Because, you know, Osama bin Laden said in the aftermath that these were symbols of American greed. And it's like, yeah, I'm not above.
He loved America, though.
Yeah, he did.
His computer was filled with like
conspiracy theories.
And then his computer had like all these like fucking torrented movies and porn and shit on it.
Yeah. Isn't that weird? He probably just felt rejected by America. He's like a jilted boyfriend and just like. You guys don't love me.
Well, they did fuck him over.
I was going to say, I don't know. I mean, I don't think they should be blowing up innocent people, but I think a lot of people in the Middle East have some legitimate gripes with us.
I would say so.
But, you know, I'm not saying go out and start suicide bombing people and blowing up planes and shit.
No, that's a bad idea.
Yeah, but I do think when you put yourself in their shoes, you're like, yeah, America sucks. They really fuck us all the time.
Yeah,
we do.
All the time.
We do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, not saying
it's
they
right.
should have done it.
No.
I'm just saying afterwards, a lot of it was like the rhetoric was like, they're evil dogs that don't understand humanity. And you're like, you know, you push people too far,
yeah,
they're going to get in a plane and they're going to crash it into a building. Yeah. You know, yeah, that's all I'm saying.
At my last job, my boss was like, you need to change your attitude.
I'm right.
Like, that's like telling a prisoner to stop being angry. How do you get them not angry? Take them out of prison.
Yeah.
Listen,
yeah,
I was at a job and they kept telling me to do stuff I didn't want to do. And I said, listen to me.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to the airport. I'm going to get on a plane.
That's right.
With innocent people.
I'm going to strap a bunch innocent of hot dogs to my chest to make them like
yeah, yeah.
This is a dark, dark turn here.
And I am, like, and I am going to fly that plane
that's right
into this restaurant that we
yeah
work in.
Yeah. Well, there's also something else that happened that
brunch is my 9/11.
Oh, Jesus.
A German company in the aftermath of the World Trade Center collapse was hired to try to restore numerous hard drives. And the reason why is because these hard drives were used to make roughly $100 million in from financial maneuvers.
How are they? Wait, oh. They were just in computers that people use? Is that what they mean?
Well, like there was information stored on those hard drives.
I was like, how are the hard drives
so
used?
So people moved, and yeah what they were trying to figure out is this was an investigation. They hired this German company who specializes in the restoration of damaged hard drives. Because the police...
Do you want to take this funny voice opportunity? Do you want me to do it?
Oh, this funny voice?
Yeah, yeah.
Was ever? Do you want to do it?
Yes, we are very good at recovering data from the hard drive. What would you like us to find?
We are with Schadenfreude LLC.
Oh, yes.
Schadenfreude, we take pleasure in your pain.
They take the files and they make the deletions. We find out the information.
Well, they found these hard drives, but they were not able to recover these. And there are right very public statements about this work going with the FBI. But the FBI has denied it over and over again. And their official position, the FBI's official position they have taken on this, is that no hard drive could have survived. Like that, no, we would not do this. There's no way a hard drive could have survived.
Survived what?
The collapse of the World Trade Center, right? The burning.
They're pretty hard, dude.
Yeah, they are. They're hard drives.
Yeah. Damn. I mean,
I didn't even mean to set that one up, but yeah, I'm glad I did.
Yeah. But which is odd.
All
which
our
is
soft
very
drives
odd
melted.
It's very odd that the FBI would claim this position, because we know some stuff survived, which is odd that it survived. Yeah. Like, for example, all the terrorists. Passports
yeah
survived.
That's weird.
I don't know. I think paper's got a better chance of that.
Because it floats.
That's what I say. It's just gonna.
Yeah. You've seen cartoons.
No,
it's not. Well, like no matter how, like if you're on a building and you threw a piece of paper like a passport off, it's not gonna hit the ground and disintegrate.
No,
but if you threw a hard drive off and it hit the ground, it's gonna
yeah
blow apart into pieces.
Yeah, for example, cats have been known to fall out of buildings
exactly
in New York City, and they don't die. They can fall from almost any height, but they make themselves flat like paper, and they float to the ground like a parachute.
Hold on, I think that last part's not true.
No, they do. They stretch all the way out. Have you seen videos?
No.
Yeah, so when cats fall out of buildings, they stretch their arms out like a fucking flying squirrel, and they catch, like they slow themselves down less than terminal velocity.
I thought it was because they can't. I thought that the terminal velocity they reach isn't fast enough for them to be hurt as long as they land on their legs.
Oh.
Like I read the reason why cats can fall out of almost any height is as long as they rotate to where they land on their feet.
No, they have
their
to
feet
spread
are,
out.
Their feet can absorb the.
No, if they land wrong, they'll be dead. They have to. Like,
well, that's what I'm saying. If they land wrong, I'm saying.
Yeah,
like,
but they spread themselves out.
Cats can land from any height as long as they land properly.
No, they gotta fucking.
I think
spread
you're.
Their
I
wings.
Think you're wrong, Jamie. Can no. you bring this up?
Yeah,
on
Jamie.
The...
Can you get?
So, well, let me just say that.
What I'm saying is, if you were in the World Trade Center, you find yourself a cat.
Yeah.
You get on that cat's back.
That's right.
You jump out that window, and as long as that cat lands right,
yep.
you're gonna crush that cat.
Yeah. And you're going to survive. It's just like getting in a car accident. You don't want to. You want to be drunk so that you.
What
lose.
Happened to the guy that jumped out?
Man, that shit's terrible. Have you ever seen those videos?
Yeah, that's
God,
terrible,
it's horrible.
But I do want to do your fun riff though about it.
Yeah, what's the fun riff?
I don't know what.
What happened to those guys? I think
they died.
Turned into a paste.
Yeah,
I think they died.
You talking about the 9/11 people?
They jumped out.
Yeah,
they're jumping out of the plane.
Yeah, it's horrible.
They thought they had a better chance that way.
No, they just wanted to end it because they were up against a wall of hot
fire.
So that was
here's a question. question. Yeah. Okay. I think there was anybody that was like, that jumped a little too early, and then the fireman busts in, and like, great, we're about to get, oh!
Like somebody on the fourth floor?
Yeah.
You had a perfect chance to do your mic.
Oh, yeah. It's like, oh, man, it's too hot here. Forget this. I'm getting out of here. Wait, sir, no!
Wait. Yeah.
That's grim. Okay, well, right. Folks. Yeah, I think this is what people were really hoping the first episode was going to be like.
Yeah.
But, you know,
I was hoping
sometimes
it would
take us
like.
A little to warm up.
I took a half
nice
hour
and
shit,
drunk.
And then I was hungry.
Okay, listen. The passports are all a little bit suspect.
I legitimately think a passport, if you were to.
Then explain this.
Tell me a bet money on what would survive a if you put a passport. And a hard drive, I would say the passport would survive.
Yeah.
As long as it doesn't get actively in fire.
Well, let me just say this, that Susan Ginsburg, who's a staff of the National Commission on Terrorism, in a public hearing in January 26, 2004, okay. said that one of the passports that was recovered belonged to Saddam El Suckamy.
Hold on, how do you say his name?
A suck of me, a suck of you.
Oh, yeah, so it might be
Suquami.
Yeah,
Suquami. Hey, it's me, Saddam El Suckamy. Come on over here, Suckamy.
It's like we've had a hard enough life and we're making fun of our names.
They make fun of my name, Saddam El Suckamy. I hate these dirty dog Americans. I don't want to suck on me. I'm a suck on you. You're going to suck on me?
That's horrible.
God, that's it. I'm flying a fucking plane into this building.
So here's another thing.
We've justified most of their actions.
Yeah, definitely.
Is that allegedly a passerby found
this
the passport
so
and gave it to a New York Police Department shortly before the Trade Center collapsed?
Oh, so it like got shot out the window?
Come on.
Yeah, maybe roll the window
York
down
police,
flying that plane.
The police officer has been questioned publicly, and he was like, yeah, it was a guy in a suit, and he came up and was like, hey, I think this might be important.
This goes back to the internet shit of them not like knowing that there's going to be so many paper trails now.
Oh, yeah.
Because like, they literally just sent like some CIA spook to be like, yeah, just hand somebody at randomness. And they're like, you didn't wait until after the tower fell? We didn't know it was going to fall.
Yeah. Also, it'd be too much chaos. Just get it in his hand so he remembers you.
Yeah, hey.
Yeah.
Hey, make sure you get this.
Yeah, this right here.
Yeah. And then.
And you didn't hear it from me.
There was a fourth passport that was found in one of the.
They were showing me.
No, there was a fourth passport that was found in one of the terrorists' luggage.
Behind a police officer's ear. No. Oh, look what I found.
Is this
your passport?
Why'd they bring luggage?
That's the whole point. They were like, yeah, we found this one. His luggage didn't make the flight.
Hold on. They probably, his luggage.
This was pre-9/11. You didn't need luggage to fly.
Yeah, but who brings a flight on luggage on a suicide mission?
I still think you would probably raise some suspicions if five brown dudes got on a plane without any stuff.
That's true.
How do you get on a plane without your passport? Like, what is he, checked his passport in his luggage?
Here's what I'm going to say.
Okay.
Come on.
Oh, no, carry-on. He put his carry-on.
I thought he was...
His carry-on would be carried on with him.
Oh, you said they found it at the airport.
They found it at the airport in his luggage that make it on the plane.
He might have had two.
He probably had two.
He probably had two because he's a terrorist.
Yeah, his...
That's probably
the one
like
he had
Terrorist
on the plane.
101, right?
Yeah,
like,
you have multiple passports.
Yeah, the one he had on the plane was like Shane Johnson. It's like... S-E-A-N?
It's a fake passport.
And then the other one's
his real
mine, Jeffrey Suckamy.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, which one's
this? Yeah, I bet you if you're a terrorist, you have multiple. Because like, they're probably always confiscating your passports, and you're probably like, no, please don't take my only passport.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, you'll never leave this country now.
Yep.
Anyway, I got to go.
I got to go to the bathroom and get this other one out my ass.
Yeah.
You didn't roll it up first.
You don't. I thought it was just easy to get on. Did you need an ID to get on planes?
Listen, I can say from personal experience, man, was
he doesn't need his passport.
You needed some ID.
They let you bring box cutters on planes back then.
That's so funny.
You don't need a passport.
Ooh. Yeah.
There's no reason you should be able
to. You used to, yeah.
Why are you cutting boxes?
it's a bunch of stock coming in.
Yeah, yeah. What are you working? I'm going
to break down these boxes.
Break down some of these boxes I brought with me.
Yeah, like if you bought a plane, ticket back in the 90s, early 2000, and like you couldn't fly, you could sell it, but you'd have to meet the person at the airport, and you would you would check in, and they would give your boarding pass, and then you would give it to the person, and then they were good to go.
Wow.
Wow. That was. Oh, I mean, I did that many times. Like, you just go find a cheap ticket online.
Yeah, that's wild.
And then sell it to people at the last minute.
No. You would. There were people that would sell tickets. You could find plane tickets.
Oh, they're like, hey, I was gonna go to.
Yeah, you,
I was
gonna
go
this,
to America.
Yeah,
do yeah, a
you'd meet
attack,
you at the airport.
But,
you pay me $100 and I'll get you the boarding pass.
We thought of the idea of doing it on 9/11. We were gonna do it on 8/12, and they were like, stupid. It doesn't even sound like their emergency number.
Yeah, yeah. We were gonna do 411, but we were
it was only. It only worked for one way tickets. You had to be going one way somewhere. It's like the easiest.
You couldn't come back.
Well, how would you get your boarding pass?
Terrorists never come back.
Oh.
You had to like just. It was always when I was like flying somewhere and driving back.
Two tickets to paradise.
Okay, back into this world. All
right. Right, right.
Mm.
So yeah, the passport thing is.
But,
I can see that.
There was also.
I still think passports have a pretty good chance of surviving.
Okay, I'll give you that. I'm just saying that the FBI has denied that this German company, even though this German company's.
Said that they did.
Was a very public endeavor. This was not something done in secrecy. They were literally trying to find these hard drives.
Why are you saying did not help? We definitely did help.
We definitely looked at the hard drives.
This is a picture of me helping.
So they were just trying to restore. Also, like the black boxes were not. The black boxes were damaged beyond recovery. And those things are specifically made.
What's the deal with the black box? Why don't they make the whole plane out of the black box?
Why are they orange?
Is that a Seinfeld?
That
thing?
Is a real joke.
It's a legit joke.
Why don't they make the whole plane out of the black box?
It's a great joke.
God.
They're like black box materials indestructible. Why don't they make the whole plane out of the black box?
Yeah. Oh man.
Because that doesn't make sense, Jerry.
It
doesn't make sense,
Jerry.
Stop being stupid. God.
So the black boxes weren't recovered. These hard drives couldn't be recovered, but you think some passports.
I 100%, I really am not being facetious when I say this. I do think that a passport has a better chance of surviving that than...
But what about those videos
Sam's
where they
compromise.
Compress stuff? They take a hydraulic press and they compress paper, and the paper blows up. You seen that?
But, there is not a height that you could drop a book...
Yeah, but it crashed into something.
The flame on it.
Supersonic.
When you watch that thing, it's like.
I'm just saying, there's a better chance that that's going to. Because it doesn't have a lot of mass behind
it. But there's
fire.
There are people that believe.
I'm not saying that it's not weird. I'm just saying.
There's a better chance.
It's plausible.
It is plausible.
The hard drives being destroyed, I get.
Yeah.
The there are people that believe if you watch the footage of the planes crashing into the World Trade Center, that they are clearly. Rigged with explosives and they are detonated to explode, right? Because like you see other photos, you see other videos of planes crashing and they don't explode in the way that these do. And there's been a lot of debate about that.
Well, what was that first plane crash that they had video of? It was like in Iowa or some shit. That thing was a fucking fireball.
I don't know. I bet you jet fuel explodes when it's compressed and there's fire.
Jet fuel is very combustible.
I'm not saying that I believe this. I'm saying there are people that believe that the planes were... when you see the video, that thing blows up.
People talk about it being a controlled demolition, but I don't know if I buy that either because they said that they hear... They're like they heard explosions in the building, but I believe... I understand the idea. I get the idea that the plane explodes on the top floor and then there's like the way a building's built, that air is going to be forced down.
Also the compression. It would force the rivets out. So it'd seem like a controlled demolition.
And you have these weird explosions because all that gas is going to shoot down
but
the shaft.
It does fall. Like it does fall in that very, like it implodes.
Yeah.
Like,
well, but because it's not being knocked over, it's
just gravity.
It's like the weight of the floor above it, it starts to bow because it's melting. So like it's like there's all the weights of the floor above where the plane is hit, and that steel starts to melt.
Wouldn't it hit layers of where it was not that hot?
But the weight of it
then collapses.
The momentum.
Look,
I don't know how you would install.
I don't think you
could install that many controlled charges throughout a whole building without anybody.
No,
being
that
like,
seems
the hell
a little
that?
Bit. That I mean, seems a little bit.
I used to work in the mall, and there's hallways all behind those stores.
But
you know, there's tons
of
hallways.
I think that's a little bit hard to believe that they
the but you don't have so many. That's so much explosives.
Yeah, that's true.
And how has anybody ever like done any like science about how big of a charge it would have to be to do that? I mean, I guess they demo buildings all the time.
Yeah,
you don't know what you're talking
about. Are they frequently demoing buildings that big?
No, those are huge.
How many
buildings
are that big?
Have you ever been in the World Trade?
I'm saying, do they have demo charges that are big enough to take out a...
Yeah, we took out a whole city with a bomb.
Well, that's not a demo. It wasn't a demo charge. Well, I'm saying, but it's not discreet enough to. I'm saying a charge that's big enough to take to disrupt the structure of the building, but small enough where you'd be able to bring it into the building without people knowing.
You know what? The answer is I don't know.
It sounds like you'd have to like set up a bunch of cruise missiles across the building, and you'd be like, "Wouldn't you see that shit?"
Well, that's what they did at the Pentagon, right? They just
I'm talking about the control. The people. There's a lot of people say that it was a controlled demolition, and that there were explosions. There were
what a lot of people said, which is indisputable, is that the sound of it sounded a lot like
explosions,
like controlled. They heard.
But that makes sense when that's
the pressure.
It's popping rivets. It's falling on.
Yeah.
Because an explosion is just a.
I tried to steer away from science because.
We don't have to get it. So, yeah. Look. Because that's a big component of the 9/11 is like that. Why did the building even fall?
Well, it was a building built different than any other building. So there was no center structure other than elevator shafts.
Right.
Like it was just
like
outside.
The Death Star?
Yeah. Jeez. So it was basically the all support.
Shell.
All support was on the outside walls.
Right.
So, oh, really?
Yeah. So had you ever been in the World Trade?
I've been there.
So like the inside bottom floor, a giant lobby. It's so big. There's no like columns. It's just huge.
Right. Because all the support is the walls.
Basically, yeah.
What? Whose call was that?
I mean, it's a good idea. It's a good idea until it gets hit by a plane,
right?
Yeah. But no, you're designing buildings with that in mind then.
Yeah, like look at this fucking... Check this out.
Yeah,
Jamie.
There's no columns in there. It's all structurally supported from the outside.
Yeah, other than just like the
nuts,
that's
not man.
That's the new one.
So the only weight bearing
the elements are on the outside.
On the outside,
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's basically a giant Jenga.
Jenga.
Okay.
Which? I don't know.
Okay. Well, look.
I'll tell you the one that is weird is why did Tower 7 fall?
Well, that is...
It didn't even get hit by anything.
It didn't get hit, and it didn't seem to sustain much damage.
It fell after the other two fell.
After the other two fell. And they say that it was debris from the other two
which
that hit it.
Crazy.
Which, come on.
Tower 7's pretty close.
Well, let me ask you this, Sam, and I'm specifically directing this question to you.
Where was I on 9/11?
Yeah. Explain to me how on the day that 9/11 happened, no one knows what day 9/11 happened, but on that day, 4,000 Jews didn't report to work that day.
First off, are we sure this is true?
Yeah, is this true? I don't.
And secondly, that is hilarious.
We only spit truth on this.
Yeah,
that's not true.
We talked about this at lunch, and we were like, 4,000 Jews seems like a lot of Jews that work in that building.
Yeah, it does.
And then I was like, how many people work there? And then there's 10,000 people worked in the World Trade Centers. And then knowing that. It's not far-fetched to think 40% of them were Jews.
That's true. Yeah.
But like, by the way,
considering most of it's all finances.
Shane, when Sam, we were talking about this, he said, how many people work in the World Trade Center?
Oh,
what do you think his initial guess was?
Oh, my God.
It was pretty high.
15,000?
More than.
Really? 30,000?
I said 50. I was like, what, 50,000 people?
Oh, my God. That's a small town of people.
I don't know, man. God. Yeah, you're like, 1,000 people. I was like, 1,000 people per floor?
Yeah, you're like, it could have been a lot worse.
500 people were about.
Just think how many people were saved.
I was like, I should have extrapolated based on the fact of how many people died in the World Trade Center.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, when you think about it, 1,800 out of 50,000.
Yeah, no one says, thank God only 1,800 people died. That's a big deal.
Yeah,
well,
you would assume, those four floors that got hit, 3,000 people died.
Jesus Christ.
So the.
Listen, I'm not good at estimating numbers.
I did put in brackets next to this point, seems to be crap, because as I read about this, there are a lot of people that are like, this is the typical thing we arrive at in almost every conspiracy we've ever done.
Also,
how is
that information disseminated amongst the Jews?
Hey,
Myra, pass it on, but don't go into the World Trade Center
tomorrow.
Don't do it. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Schmeckle. I appreciate it.
Here's the disclaimer.
Don't go into the World Trade Center.
Here's the disclaimer. I do not believe what I'm about to say is true.
Okay,
this is how the conspiracy would go.
Okay.
Is remember that the Israeli Secret Service warned the U.S. government.
Mm-hmm. So then they individually warned the Jews?
Look,
are you
telling me that if you're in the course of your work, realize that something tragic was going to happen and you realize it could affect a family member, that you wouldn't be like,
but why?
Hey, why don't you tell Uncle Joe to take off?
But this is a, this,
on 9/11.
The problem with this is that it assumes that Jews have no friends that are not Jewish.
Yeah.
So that they're like,
no.
What would be the reasoning for why we wouldn't be allowed to tell other people?
What I'm saying is that
keep it between
if
us.
You
wink,
keep it in the tribe.
No, yeah. I don't think that it's that we're not telling everyone we know.
We're just only friends with other Jews, and we don't realize it until the end.
Well, I think that like
we don't have any other Jews.
Yeah, jeez.
I mean, I think that like.
It's so funny to imagine there's conference meetings. It's like September 10th.
Join the Zoom meeting.
And all the Jews are in like a conference room in the World Trade Center. And then like just Patrick O'Hannigan like walks in. He's like, oh, hey, guys, what are you guys talking about? Get out! Get out! And you better come to work tomorrow. We'll be here. We'll be here.
Yeah, we're bringing extra friends.
We're all coming to work tomorrow. Don't you... It's like, when did this get planned?
Free sandwiches, 9/11, free sandwiches, everyone come to work.
Yeah, also, why are the Jews, why, like, Muslims and Jews notoriously do not get along. Why are the Muslims planning this attack and telling the Jews?
Yeah, it doesn't
If anything,
sense.
They would be telling everybody else. They're make sure all the Jews are there.
Yeah. Like listen, we said, free deli sandwiches.
They would almost call it off if they knew the Jews didn't go into work. They'd be like, oh, we're not going to get any of the Jews. Debunked.
Debunked.
Okay.
They weren't from school kids, though?
No. Here's what happened, and I was going to find their names up here because before 2011, before 9/11, there were two school kids who made this comment, and they were like, yeah, you better enjoy the World Trade Center because it won't be there next week. And
when did they say that?
They said it like a week before.
No. I meant like... Not when, like, why?
They were like in Jersey City.
Where were they? What were they doing?
Were they somewhere like that?
What do you mean? What were they doing? They were telling people around school like there was like.
Oh, damn, that's so funny. That's just some kids overheard. I do buy some of these as just being like, because like the city is so densely populated, and also the other thing is that people are so used to just talking about what is going on in their life in the city.
Yeah.
And not giving a shit that people are nearby because there's the assumption that nobody's really listening.
Right.
And I could totally see just like terrorists just walking down the block and just talking about the plan and just because everybody's so hustle and bustle in the city that no one's really. And also, everybody's nuts. So the odds of I bet you before 9/11, if you heard like a bunch of people just like, yeah, I'm going to blow up this tower, like, oh, fucking homeless problem's really bad.
Yeah.
So it's just funny to think that there's these guys talking about and these just kids over here and they're like, I don't know if you. I was out. Walking around, and I heard these two guys saying that the World Trade Centers aren't going to be there. Timmy, how many times do I have to tell you that I keep talking? Do you think they got pulled into the FBI, though?
Oh, 100%.
Oh, sure. Yeah, here it is. Okay. October 11th, Jeffrey Scott Shapiro, an aggressive young reporter for the New York Journal News, Westchester County, published an article that tracked the story to New Uttridge High School in Brooklyn, New York.
Oh, Brooklyn. Mm.
Sam's
hood. Yeah.
Shapiro identified a teacher who witnessed a freshman in her class saying the week prior to the World Trade Center, do you see those two buildings? They won't be standing there next week.
Oh, fuck.
And this is the only case we know of someone who said the World Trade Center was coming down prior to it happening.
Timmy?
A police source said.
Which Timmy. Website is this?
What's
yes.
that?
Yes.
Timmy.
What website? This is NBCNews.com.
Oh,
well,
okay. Yes.
You
yes.
like ice creams? You like ice cream, Timmy?
I love ice cream.
You like ice cream, Timmy?
I love it.
Hey, Special Agent Dale, make sure we get some ice cream in here for Timmy. Timmy, so tell me a little bit.
Yeah.
How long, we could do a lot for you. You like gummy bears, Timmy?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll do anything for gummy bears.
Yeah. We'll get you all the gummy bears you want.
Yeah.
You tell us, who the fuck told you that?
So the theory is it kind of like, see what Sam said, is that the rumors.
You just overheard it.
The rumors of the attack were circulating in his neighborhood. Mm. And so there was like.
Was it a Jewish neighborhood?
No, it was a Muslim neighborhood.
Oh, right.
So like there were these cells in New York that were kind
of. How true is this? Because this starts to feel like it starts to put. This starts to dovetail into the. Muslims were on the roofs
cheering, which
has been documented to not be true.
Are you saying that President Trump was
lying about that? Yes. 100%.
What? Really?
I think he was maybe trying to distract from the fact that he was on Howard Stern saying, well, Trump Tower is now one of the tallest buildings. That's, there's always a...
Always a bright side.
Always a silver lining.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I couldn't believe when I heard that. I was like, what a piece of shit.
God, that's...
Well, this is what they said. There are only... The FBI placed the boy's family under surveillance... They do not see a connection to him. The case remains under investigation. but doesn't seem to be going anywhere, right? And, you know, he claimed, I've got the constitutional right to say whatever I want.
The kid?
Kid said
that. Into that? Oh, fuck. Who, if he's claiming the fifth, then clearly he's guilty.
Yeah, that's the first. That's
oh, whatever.
Yeah, he's pleading the fifth. Pleading the fifth.
They entered his school, and they had it on lockdown. They secured his classroom, and they beat the shit out of him.
No,
they
didn't.
That's what it says here.
No,
it
doesn't.
While the students were brought lunch and a movie and told to be calm, the youth in question, his older brother, a sophomore, were taken to be interrogated by the FBI stationed at the police precinct nearby.
That would be a tough place to be in shortly after 9/11.
Everybody else got snacks?
Holy yeah, fuck. What? I was just kidding. I was mad.
Oh, my God.
My fucking sergeant died in those towers. You fucking tell me, kid.
You tell me.
Yeah, people were nuts.
Yeah,
people
dude, were, those kids probably got a fucking...
They probably got the that shit sucks. Beat out.
Yeah, they
that's shitty.
And they're, yeah. Well... Don't be fucking going around school.
I mean, I guess.
Don't be running your fucking mouth if you know about a terrorist plot.
I guess the thing to do, I mean, and this goes back to, like, if you want to profit off, like, tragedy, is just go around predicting big tragedies constantly.
Edgar
like,
Casey, Nostradamus.
Someone's like, I'm going to D.C. to see the
I bet you they
Lincoln
heard about it. I bet you just legitimately heard about it.
Yeah.
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 Every time someone says they're going to D.C., I'm like, well, glad you're going now because next week it ain't going to be there.
That's right.
And what is
and
it? What
if
is,
it does, then I'll be on news.
And what is like? What is the benefit of being like, yeah, they did hear about, like, there's no reason to say publicly that they did actually, like, there's no benefit to the FBI to be like, oh, yeah, they actually did hear about it for real because people were talking about it less than a mile away from where it happened for weeks, and we just never found out about it because we're bad at our job.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're better off just being like, yeah, I don't know, just some dumb kid saying some stupid shit. It makes the FBI look better.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, because you don't want to release a news story. Yeah, these random high schoolers knew about it, and
exactly,
the Central Intelligence Agency in the United States had no idea.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, I think that one thing that might be important is that there is, and this is verifiable in some sense, is that there are people that believe that, if nothing else, what 9/11 was meant to do was to stoke fear and animosity towards Muslims in general.
Yeah.
Which seems to be at the heart of some of what some
I don't know
faction of government has been trying to do for some time.
I don't
time.
Know if that's what – I think it's a means to an end. I don't think the goal was – I think it was a mechanism to create sentiment to want to go into a place that has a lot of oil.
Yeah,
I don't think the end goal was to make Muslim hostility.
I don't know, man.
I think it was like, if we can make people more hostile towards Muslims,
there is an easy escape loop.
It's easier for us to justify going into Muslim countries.
It just seems
that
like
have oil in them. I don't think it's like there's just
seems
the end
to me
game
that
is just
the
get Muslims under fire.
1984, yeah. George Orwell's classic, just talks about how the people need an enemy, and it seems like the Middle East has been a very pliable enemy and ally over the years, and we seem to sometimes be in alliance with them.
They're sitting on the most valuable resource in the world. I don't think it has anything to do with the fact that they're Muslim. I think if it happened to be Chinese people that live there, oil?
Look, if we really wanted energy independence, we would just move towards solar. It's a valuable resource
different.
For people that have.
You're arguing a completely different thing. It's still one of the most valuable sought after resources.
Yeah, and it's delicious.
Yeah, you put a little bit on the
olive oil. Yeah, you
put it on a guy's butt. Yeah, slide right in.
Well, okay. Well, they're going back to our who knew before. There are a lot of people that did not go to work.
Are
today.
We gonna talk about the funniest one?
Oh, who?
The guy who owns the World
Trade Center. Oh, well, yeah. We got a couple guys.
That's the best one.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Shane here. Support for Conspiracy Beer Me is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-waist grooming champions of the world. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped just launched their fourth-generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0. You heard it right. 4.0. That's one more than 3.0. That means it's better. Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped, including us, with this exclusive offer just for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with code CBM20 at manscaped.com. Imagine your balls, if you would. I'm imagining your balls right now. They're gross. It's like one of those dogs on the cover of Beck's Odelay. That's what your balls look like. And we got to fix that. We got to trim those. So use one of these razors. They're pretty awesome. It's got four guards. So if you don't want to go all the way bare, you can go low pile, medium pile to normal carpet, if you like, however you want to do it. We've all cut our balls shaving with just a razor, right? I think we've all done that. And then you cut yourself and then you're like, and it's bleeding in the shower. And then the worst is when the ball falls out. So if that's happened to you, use one of these Manscaped trimmers. They're way better. Wireless charging. So it's like a phone. It's got a 4000K light on the front of it. So you can shave in the dark. And I have, because I have no lights in my bathroom because I haven't finished my remodel. And they have other stuff on their website too. They have nose hair trimmers if you're old or you just are blessed in that area. So as I said, get 20% off and free shipping with the code CBM20 at manscaped.com. That's right. 20% off and free shipping worldwide with code CBM20. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped. And now, back to the show.
Okay, so here's the guy that's the most suspicious of all the people missing from
the
work.
Most Jewiest Jewish man that ever been, that ever Jewed. Yeah. It's like, I didn't go into work that day. What do you want from me? I go in every day, but I didn't go in that day. Sue me.
Larry Silverstein.
Sue me. Yeah, Larry Silverstein. You're like, God damn it.
Could he have less of a Jewish name? No. He's Larry Silverstein.
The guy goes on the news and you're just like, Jews everywhere are like, this looks so bad.
Here's the thing about Larry Silverstein. Larry Silverstein owns the World Trade Centers. And he was
hello, it's me, Howard Black Guy.
Like, God damn it.
No. No.
So here's the thing about Larry Silverstein that's so odd. Every morning, he's one of those guys like clockwork. Every morning, he ate breakfast at the restaurant in the World Trade Center North Tower. Only day he missed in like 10 years.
Listen, somebody pointed out to me that I was always doing the same thing every day. Yeah. And I thought, you know what? September 11, 2001, that's going to be the first day of the new you. I'm not going to eat at the North Tower that day. Sue me. Don't sue me.
Well, but it got more suspicious because he claimed that he had a doctor's appointment. Mm. And then people were like, well, what's doctor? What appointment? And he was like, actually, I was at home. I never left the house. I didn't go to the appointment.
Sneaky.
I call my wife my doctor sometimes.
And now if you're thinking like
healing my wounded heart.
That's right. Sometimes I call myself my doctor because I put my finger in my ass and I check my problem.
If you don't think it's suspicious that the owner of the World Trade Center was conspicuously absent from his habitual routine.
I think it's weird that the owner of the World Trade Center is regularly going there.
Yeah.
No. Why even go?
I think that's just that's his routine. That's work.
Like
for
my
you.
Landlord. I mean, my landlord doesn't regularly come to my building.
That's what you think.
I mean, that's actually
your building doesn't right have now. 10,000 employees. I mean,
but they don't work for him.
Well, no, but the tenants who are there are his customers.
Assume that the guy who owns the World Trade Center is so rich that he doesn't actually have to interface with the World Trade Center anymore.
You don't think Trump went to Trump Towers like pretty much every day? He was also a guy.
He lived there though.
Yeah, but he was also a guy that like was like clockwork. Like he always ate.
I don't think he go. I don't think
a well done burger.
I don't think Trump went to the other Trump properties all the time.
I think these guys. I think
it's different because he lives there.
I'm not saying I think. I'm saying that I am often struck by the fact that very wealthy people have these ritual and routines that
they do not deviate
from.
I get that. I'm just saying. I think it's. If I own the World Trade Center, I would. You would.
That's
I
why
would,
you'll never own.
I will
something.
Probably never.
Be
I would
successful.
Never be there. Why would I not be successful?
Because you don't.
Why would I go? I would hire some fucking idiot.
Food for you?
No, I'd hire someone for $100,000 a year to be like, be my liaison. I'm not going to go. I'm going to be in
Go liaise.
I'm going to be in the islands with Jeffrey Epstein fucking a kid. Yeah. I don't have time to go find out that on the 78th floor, the heating doesn't work as well.
I'm just going
to
assume my ex Benedict
was doing that
every day.
I don't think he was going
to. If I have enough money to own a building, if I have enough money to own the World Trade Centers, by God, I'm fucking kids in the Caymans. So there's no way that I have time. I'm like, I'm sorry, I am balls deep in a child.
I don't have time for this.
I'm just saying.
So glad I left my job.
When you have that kind of money,
this is the one that would have gotten me. Like, hey,
my point is that if you're that rich, you're probably evil. And you're
he was a. I mean, Warren Buffett isn't evil. He eats at the same McDonald's every morning.
You don't
think
he's got some fucking bad stories?
No, I think Warren Buffett. I mean,
I don't know if he's fucking kids.
No, I don't think he's doing.
I'm just saying. I bet you there's some stuff he made go away.
No, no way.
Again. You don't think, listen, if I was a billionaire, I was just going to say so much about my character. If I was like a billionaire and I was like at a hotel and I was like checking into the hotel and the clerk was just like mean to me a bunch or just shitty to me, I would absolutely have him killed and just not be and just not be able to have a trace back to me.
So, guys, do not let Sam Mazzani become a millionaire.
Or famous in any way.
I'm just saying, you just be like, oh, yeah, it's like, sir, we're sorry that your room isn't as up to par as what you'd hope it would be. We'll do our best to make it work. I'm like, what's your name?
You're the kind of
Michael,
client.
Michael, got it. And then just Michael's going out to the car to get in the fucking, he's going out to the parking lot to get in his car to leave. And then just a fucking van shows up.
Yeah.
And then he wakes up in a warehouse. And then I walk out smoking a cigar. I'm like, oh, you didn't think, so you thought it was funny that my room wasn't up to snuff. Well, sorry that you felt that way. Anyway, I got to go. My name's Sam Mazzani. I own Jeffrey Epstein's Island.
Speaking of snuff.
I kind of ran a steam on the riff there. But, you know, what I'm saying is I would have had that man killed.
I think that's the kind of – you're the kind of client that a hitman is just, like, questioning whether I'd keep doing this. What happened, Sam? The guy, you need revenge? This guy was your high school bully. He's like, no, Pam, put pickles on my sandwich.
It's the kind of guy that is like, it's like when you go to I had my car that was constantly fucking up.
Was it an Audi?
Yes, it was a piece of shit. And I was it was constantly breaking down, and I kept going to my mechanic, and then one day my mechanic was like, "Listen, we could fix this, but you should just sell this car. You are losing money every time you fix this." And like it's like that's like the hitman's like, listen, don't get me wrong. I will kill that guy. I will kill that man if you want me to kill that man. But just know you probably shouldn't.
You should just spend your money on therapy.
You're upside down.
I'm doing my due diligence here and just saying this is a bad idea. It won't get traced back to you, but just at a certain point you gotta just not be killing everybody that upsets you.
And then you're like,
are you talking back to me? Okay.
You're right. I'll kill myself.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Therapy's cheaper. It's always cheaper.
Yes.
If you don't think that Larry Silverstein's conspicuous absence.
Well, he was on the news about it, too.
Was he really?
Yes. Am I just keep jumping on?
No. But I was going to say Silverstein also had two children who were expected at meetings on 9/11,
Herschel Silverstein,
and neither child showed up for their meetings. They said they got stuck. Both of them claimed they got stuck in traffic.
To be fair,
missed the meetings. Traffic was bad that day.
Most places in New York, most like in the city in Manhattan, have like floating end times.
Like most offices
here. Like, office jobs in, like, North Carolina are, like, being at 9 o'clock.
This guy's big time.
He is big time.
Down here where you guys live.
Well, no, but it's just true that...
No, I think now it's getting that way here.
But in New York, it's always kind of been, like, you have to work 8 hours.
You may not be able to get in because the train...
When you get in, it's 8 hours from there.
You never know. There might be a plane that hits the towers. You might be running late.
Fucking traffic sucks dicks. You'd be like, you could just get fucked by a
subway. These were meetings.
People just keep getting... You'd just be losing people getting fired left and right.
All right. Right. But let me just give you the one other piece of evidence that might show you that Larry Silverstein, Stein, Berenstain. Stein
is how people say it when they're trying to be anti-Semitic.
Oh, really?
Is it really?
I don't know. I always feel like when they're like
Stain seems more anti-Semitic.
Stein.
So his two kids missed meetings on 9/11.
Okay.
He missed meetings on 9/11. Mm-hmm. Thousands of Jews who were supposed to work that day.
Supposedly.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Okay.
Allegedly.
And then, prior to the collapse of the World Trade Center, the owner of the buildings changed the insurance policy on three of the buildings. The three that collapsed.
Shut up.
What? And what did he change it to include? I'll give you one guess.
Now, here's a question. Do you think that it's possible that that guy is so high up in... Like, do you think that this is just possible that he did retroactive insurance fraud? where it's just like this guy's so rich that he was able to like call somebody at the insurance company. He's like, you got to do me a favor. You got to update the policy, backdate it, and just say
he could have
just backdate it and just say because I'm gonna take a bath.
Sir, but that's gonna look bad.
I'm gonna take a bath on this thing. It's not good. I think I don't know how expensive these buildings are, but I'm gonna take a bath on this. You're gonna need to help me out. Please just do me a solid. Just go back and say I added the plane into the building insurance. Please. I know you tried to upsell me on it, and I said that it seemed stupid at the time. Just put it on the three. Please. I'll make it worth your while. I bet you that happened. I bet you that legitimately happened.
Well, all right. We'll allow that as a possibility. But the fact that he specifically included – he went back, and what he did, just so we're clear, is he
– 9/11 happens.
No. But
– No, the way it's in the record
before it happened, he called – and he had his insurance policies changed on these three buildings to include a terrorist attack,
specifically mentioning
being flown into intentionally by an airplane.
Now, what I think
because here's why. Because the idea that if an airplane hit it was covered, like an accidental crash, but an intentional crash was not covered because that was a terrorist attack, and they're like, you're not covered for terrorism, and he's like, all right, add terrorism to my policy.
But I think is more likely than him knowing
is backdating it.
Is just that he was like, he had someone at the insurance company like, just put this on my policy, please. I'll pay you off.
But why would the insurance company wouldn't do that? Because that would mean they'd have to pay out on it.
No, but a guy, not if you paid the guy off. If you pay the guy, you're like, listen, I'll give you fucking $1 million if you just put this on my policy because I'm going to get fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
that seems more likely than him being like secretly knowing about
who
it.
Who is the insurance company? And did they pay out?
I don't know how much money
do you get in that situation?
I would hope a lot.
Probably a lot.
Well, here's what I would say is that
God, we've never actually had to use this policy. Insurance companies just losing their mind. Like, we're fucked.
Yeah, like they don't even do flood insurance. Why would they sold them Trade Center
plane terrorism insurance? Well, at the time, it sounded like we were just fucking him over because no one was ever.
I didn't know that. He also sued the airline companies for the 9/11 attack
for
$12.3 billion.
This guy rules.
And did he win?
This guy, yeah, I don't know.
Man.
He probably settled.
Yeah, man.
Your Honor, I'd like to present my case. I would like, it's very sad. Everybody's dead. But, you know, the real victim is me. Yeah. And I would say that.
I love how, like, this is, like, fortuitously
How would you sue the airlines?
They failed to do their due diligence. They were negligent stopping terrorists.
That's not their job.
Yes, it is.
The TSA.
Dude, I mean, people are
suing.
Did
TSA exist before that?
No. But people are suing.
Oh, so it used to just be on the airline?
This
was such a bad system for a really long time.
The hotel where the Las Vegas shooting happened is getting sued by victims because the hotel didn't do their job.
What do you mean, do their job?
I don't know.
That's why.
Well, I mean, to be fair, that guy was just slowly bringing in more and more guns. The video footage of that is so funny.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like every like 6 hours, he just comes in with all these duffel bags. Like, sir, where are you going? Nothing. That's not what we asked. We just said, where are you going?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm good. Again, sir. Oh, sorry, the elevator's closed.
You do a sound effect with that?
Sorry, I'm going upstairs. I'm taking all these guns to go. Did he say guns?
I meant ammo. Oh, shit.
Ah, God.
So Silverstein, he...
Yeah, he must... $4 plus billion
in insurance.
Best case scenario, he committed insurance fraud. Worst case scenario,
he was tipped off.
The CIA's like, hey,
can we
use your building to stage a terrorist attack? Like, and he's like, that depends how much money am I going to get.
Yeah, how much am I going to get?
But here's what I think.
Objections otherwise.
Let's go back to the...
That's the perfect guy you want.
Foreknowledge. Where the only thing that happened is that the United States was warned that this was going to happen. And in some dark secret room, powerful men said...
And women.
Women
can also orchestrate terrorist attacks.
Yes. It seems like a man thing to do.
Such a funny thing if they were like, actually, a woman came up with this idea. I just wanted that. That's why we don't let them in government. We hired one woman into the CIA, and she immediately is like, "What if we kill a bunch of people?"
And she 9/11 the world.
Because somebody broke up with her and didn't call her back. But he worked at the World Trade Center.
Oh, man.
I do think it's fun to imagine So if this was entirely made up mm-hmm. by, like, planned by the United States, the guy who pitched that the first time yeah. in a meeting, that dude is, that guy's balls of steel. They're like,
oh, yeah.
All right, look, we got to get, we like, all right, any idea is a good idea. We just got to get some ideas on the board here. Okay, we got the whiteboard. All right. What we need to do is we need to get into Iraq to get oil. Now, how can we do that? Any idea? Ooh, no
how about
ideas.
We just take
yes,
a ship?
Yes, yes.
We can take a ship over there, and then we just drive right in there.
Okay, not a bad idea. We're going to put it on the board.
Okay, okay.
Anybody
okay.
else? Anybody, any other ideas? Anything? We're brainstorming here.
Yes. I have an idea. What if we just drop a parachute with a paratrooper, one of like on those SEAL guys, and he just goes in there, grabs the oil, and gets out?
Okay, I don't know if that's going to work, but we're going to put it on the board. All right, anybody else? Yeah, I got an idea. Now, hear me out. It's going to sound long form a little bit. What if? Now, listen, it's going to sound crazy, but I think it's going to work. We get a bunch of brown guys. I like it already. Where are we going?
Where are we
guys.
Going?
We're gonna teach them how to fly planes. Not sure where this is going. I like it so far. They're going to take these planes, and they're going to fly it into the World Trade Center? World Trade Center? Yeah. Okay. Okay, so you like that. Okay. Yeah. The Pentagon?
Oh, sure.
They don't seem related, but okay.
Sure, okay, yeah.
And a field in Pennsylvania. I kind of blanked on the last one. And then everybody's going to get mad at the brown people. And then we'll just say that the brown people were from that country. And honestly, I only really thought of the plane part.
It's good. It's got legs. So,
Gary, you're hired.
You're hired.
This is part of the interview.
Oh, yeah.
That's hilarious.
One last question at the interview. Hypothetical we like to pose to all candidates. If you were to try to incite a cultural war against Muslims, well, how would you go about it? Yep. Ooh, wow. Okay. Normally people kind of ask questions about, you know, like my biggest weakness.
What is interesting about this this riff is that, as we said on last episode, they were running these exact simulations. They were saying, like, what if some terrorists came in and stole multiple planes?
That's just a crazy guy's job at the CIA.
It is.
Yeah.
What if they steal a bunch of nerve gas and put it into Burger King's? I guess we should do a simulation for that one.
Yeah. I read a headline that was they hire science fiction writers to help the CIA run these scenarios because they think crazy. So they're like, what's the craziest thing you come up with?
And they get fired because they're just like, bad at it. Like, what if there's a bunch of aliens and they're allergic to water, but they come to the planet anyway?
And by aliens, you mean illegal immigrants?
No, allergic
to water, you mean waterboarding?
Right.
I think we got some.
That was not where I was going.
Oh, okay, I like your idea.
Do I still get paid? Will I get a story by credit on this?
No,
if you, it
no
seems
bylines.
Like you're doing a lot of rewrites on this.
Yeah, no bylines.
That's funny too, man. Just the guy that came up with this plot, he doesn't even like he's trying to apply for a job. And like, what have you worked on before? And he's like,
oh man,
I got the greatest story I ever.
You're just a failed screenwriter who got hired to work at the CIA. It's like, I was wanting to make movies, but now I just pitch potential terrorist plots.
Okay, so Silverstein makes all this Stein.
Stein.
I can't
remember. Stein sounds
Stein,
the worst.
Stein. I think that here's why it makes sense to me that he was forewarned is because, like, go back to what we said in last episode, that, like, if you had that small group of people who were plotting this thing and you assume that Silverstein's one of them, right? And they're like, look, we got to crash it somewhere that's very public. The World Trade Center makes the most sense. The Pentagon makes sense. And the general's like, hell no, I'm not getting my men hurt. And they're like, well, empty out a vacant spot in the Pentagon.
And then Silverstein's like, hell no, I'm not getting my men hurt.
Yeah,
get these
exactly.
Jews out of the building.
Yeah, exactly. right. And he's just like,
no, come on.
and he's like, and look, what do you want me to do? Just lose all my money? No, I'm not doing that. And
like,
look,
we can't,
take an
it's
insurance
like,
policy.
Can we evacuate the whole building? They're like, no, absolutely. There's got to be some people in it. Can I evacuate just the Jews? Yeah. And they're like, that's weird, but okay.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, whatever you want to do. Just make sure there's people.
Yeah. That's right. And then, so essentially,
can I purposely put Muslims in the building?
No.
That seems a little too far.
That's a little much.
How are you going to even explain that?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just asking.
So I think that to me makes sense that he would say, look, you know, we got to have some sort of contingency policy because they probably didn't think the World Trade Centers were going to come down.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think they did.
Right? I mean, they crashed into empty floors.
Do you think the FBI is just watching it and like, job well done, boys. We really did. And also the first tower starts to collapse like, that's not good. That is not. Oh, man. Okay.
Yeah, right.
Woo.
Right.
Up, there's the other one going down. Okay.
Oh, shit.
The building next to it is. What?
Oh, that's not even attached.
Jesus. Did we not run any simulations on this?
Damn it. Yeah. So they. Yeah.
People are going to be pissed if they ever figure this out. Well, they don't have internet yet. They won't find out.
But they do.
They're starting to get internet.
Oh, no. What are we? Where are we at on time on this one?
Yeah, we're past. We're gonna have to do a third episode.
I know.
Jeez, it went all okay. Well, that's where we end up.
I feel like we should just get rid of the first one and just start on this one.
Maybe
we'll talk about it afterwards.
Yeah. Well, look, that's where we are, man. The last thing I want to mention.
Okay.
And this is ripe for another. Do you guys know who Kurt Sonnenfeld is?
No.
Feld.
Seinfeld brother.
Kurt Sonnenfeld was a videographer. Have you heard of this story?
Was this the guy that was going around with did you ever watch that documentary that came out with the guy that was embedded
the
with
French
the
French guy?
Dude, that shit is brutal.
As fuck.
So sad.
Well,
can't believe they left French people in America.
Sonnenfeld claims to have conclusive video evidence that the U.S. knew about the attacks prior to 9/11. And
what would they even look like?
He said that he caught stuff on camera because he was a videographer for FEMA who came in afterwards, and he recorded video communications between people that were aware of the attacks, and he caught this all on film. And
so
then
he filmed
and then,
them having like a FaceTime meeting.
No, he just filmed people talking inadvertently, and then he had it. And here's what happened: is then.
Don't let anybody know we planned this whole attack. Okay, boss.
Okay, sure thing.
and make sure nobody hears us
nobody
say
knows what,
this was an inside job.
And make sure no one's recording this.
Yeah.
And so here's the thing is that no one's seen the conclusive video evidence.
Of course.
But then all of a sudden his wife was murdered and Sonnenfeld was the prime suspect. So he fled and was granted asylum in Argentina after showing them the videos. Like, you got, like...
Why doesn't he release them?
Well...
Then he's got no leverage.
Because he's trying... Yeah, he's got no leverage then, right? Mm. So, like, he's basically like, my wife was murdered, and I was framed for that murder. So I fled to Argentina, and I was like, look, this is what I have. And, like, so, like, he's trying to negotiate a return to the United States. I think he might have been... There might be an extradition order, and he might, you know, like...
But why would he want, like... Okay, if I had that evidence, I'd be like, Argentina's pretty nice. I'll just stay here. It doesn't. I don't need to go.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't like America that much.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
Well, the Sonnenfeld affair is pretty crazy.
I gotta look this up.
We got a lot of. There's a lot we didn't even cover, man.
Maybe we do a second part.
Yeah, second part to the second part.
Yeah, because the first part.
First part was just a lot of background.
I think I was just on my.
You were sleepy.
I was a little sleepy. I didn't feel good. My tum-tum hurt.
Yeah, you had a big old poopy.
All right, guys, boys.
Well, final thoughts. Here's what I think. I think that there was foreknowledge of 9/11. It was that the people who had foreknowledge, as tragic as it could have been, it exceeded what they expected, but it also got them what they wanted, which was a war and more control over the government. I mean, more control over the people. That's my final thought.
Am I a narcissist for thinking that... I would be charming enough to get somebody involved in planning it to admit it.
Yeah.
Like if I hung out with like somebody, do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like if I hung out with somebody who like did plan it and we just like hung out for a night and just like chilled and like.
Fucking name dropper.
Like, am I a narcissist? Yes.
You know what I'm saying now? Like I feel like I could like, you know.
You don't need to go on. Are you narcissist?
Just schmooze it out of a guy and just like hang it. Like if I was with Silverstein, like we hung out, went out, like got like Bialy's.
No.
And like fucking, and then like, come on, you know, between, come in.
Come on. Between two of us.
Yeah, between a couple guys here.
Yeah.
If there was information, we've gone to this.
Did you know about it?
The government.
I can't say, Sam. Please, Sam. But I will say that if I do go to the bathroom in the next 5 minutes, that might be the answer to your question. I might be answering affirmatively. Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Anyway, I have to go to the bathroom.
And as he goes to the bathroom, the plane crashes into the restaurant.
Yeah, anytime that, do you think ever since then, anytime Silverstein is like, I can't make it to something, that everybody just
Probably. They're like, no.
He's like, yeah, I'm not going to be able to make it to the birthday party. I'm busy tomorrow. And everybody's like, cancel the birthday party. It's not safe.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's wild.
All right. Final thoughts, anybody?
Sure. My final thoughts are yes. I would say he had knowledge of this. 9/11 did happen. I know a lot of people doubt that, but we all saw it. We witnessed.
That'd be a twist.
That would be a twist. We didn't talk about that.
It didn't even happen.
Didn't even. It was Well, some people think it's holograms. We didn't even talk about
what
that.
What does that even mean?
They think the planes were holograms.
Fake planes.
Oh, fake planes, just missiles. They just put a hologram over a missile.
That's what they think.
There's too many. Where are these? The problem with all those ones is, like, where are the people that were on the plane?
Well, that's the thing. I don't know.
Because those people are missing.
They are somewhere.
Supposedly dead.
Supposedly. According to these people. Yeah, I don't know. There's so many. I feel like we didn't.
You think they're fabricating 200 people?
They could. Mm. I think there's a lot more to this story that I want to know more about. I don't really have final thoughts other than the fact it's still unsolved. We still will never know. We'll never know in our lifetime. We need someone.
Yeah, we haven't even got the JFK stuff yet.
No, and did I tell you I was at the New Year's party with that woman again? That her grandma was the one on her deathbed said it was an inside job, and I forgot to ask her about it. Are we allowed to divulge that about her? Yeah, I didn't say her name.
I mean, it's her problem, not ours.
Yeah, her grandma shouldn't have revealed it. But yeah, I don't. Nothing's conclusive. All I know is it's messed up. It was a terrific. No, horrific. Boy, did I fuck that up.
Wow. Yeah, that is definitely not what you meant to say. But
you heard it here first.
Great job, 9/11 guys.
Yeah. It was fantastic. I mean,
yeah, we have really trampled on some souls here.
I know. I feel,
let's make that clear.
We're not.
This is all for jokes.
If any of you guys died in 9/11, we were just kidding. It's a terrible tragedy.
No.
No matter what you think happened, it's a terrible tragedy.
Yeah. Right. And it's easy to say that, like, even making light of it is a disservice to the people that passed away. But I think that
thousands of non-Americans die all the time in terrorist attacks happening all over the world.
That many people died coronavirus today.
But yeah. I will say, and we all know that an American life is worth at least 100 non-American lives.
Oh, Jesus. That is what Sam says.
And I think it's important that we recognize it.
Yeah.
We're almost at the point where you have to, like, announce.
I know.
I'm kidding.
That was Sam saying those. I had a slip of the tongue. Yeah. I said terrific. I meant horrific.
It's satirical.
Also, just Sam thought about his words.
Earlier in the show, one of us said that if they were wealthy, they would be on Jeffrey Epstein's island. That is
Sam. That's different. You're confused. I was saying that. I'm assuming the guy that owns World Trade Center would be so rich that he's fucking kids somewhere.
Oh, I'm sure.
Other thing that you're conflating is that I'm saying if I was a billionaire, I would have no problem hiring people to kill people that slightly inconvenience my life.
Oh, so you're not saying you would be on Jeffrey Epstein's
island. I would never fuck a kid, but I would 100% have people murdered on my
behalf. Yeah.
Okay, that's where that's what you would do with your money?
No, that's not the only thing I would do with it. I'm saying. Well, how much?
Everyone who's ever doubted me is dead.
How much does it cost to hire a fucking hitman?
They're not that much.
Like $10,000.
That's a lot because some people do it for like $100.
Are you comfortable saying who's first on your list if you hit that billion?
Hold on, no. I'll tell you after, bud.
Okay. Post in the subreddit. Tell us who would you kill first.
Oh yeah, that's not evidence.
My wife.
All
right, you got it.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
I didn't say my final thoughts.
Oh yeah, what's your final thoughts?
I thought that was your final thought.
No, I was disputing.
He just defending
that.
Himself.
I was disputing that you said I would fuck kids if I was rich.
It's just so much, right?
I think that 9/11. Isn't what it's. There's no way that what happened is. You can't take it for face value. There's no way. I think that people knew about it. I think that there was foreknowledge of it happening. I think that the U.S. government might have turned a blind eye to parts of it. They might not have known exactly how bad it was going to be, and kind of was just like, "Well, just let it happen," and then use it as a piece to like a machination to. But also, that doesn't really, explain the Silverstein stuff. Like, why would he?
Yeah,
know?
That's.
So maybe it's possible that the government really knew a lot about it and was just and like they were guiding it along. When you see all this other stuff after the fact, where it's like this guy, basically the guy who owned the World Trade Center had to have known it. It seems like he knew about it.
Yep.
Why would he know about it? Someone must have told him about it, and who would be in a position to tell him about it?
little kids.
Mossad
in Brooklyn.
Well, but who would be in a position to tell him about it only so that he can save himself and be financially covered for it, but not say that it's happening? That sounds like that it would have to be a very powerful entity. You would assume that that must be government.
Okay, if we were to rank the people, the most powerful people in the world, where do you think Silverstein lands on that list?
No, I don't think he's that powerful.
No,
I think it came down from on high. Somebody within the government, like this.
You don't think he's that powerful?
This reeks of like deep state CIA, FBI, fucking like how you find out like the CIA is like orchestrating coups and shit. This feels like one of those situations where like the CIA is like, we're gonna set up this fake. We're gonna basically coax this terrorist attack along to happen on U.S. soil because this is an idea that they've had before. Yeah. They've talked about doing false flag operations before all the time. And this is one of the first, like, wasn't one of those vetoed by a president, like, that they were going to do it in, like, the 60s or 70s? I forgot what it was. It was, like, somebody said, like, somebody presented, it might have been JFK. Like, JFK was presented with, like, some sort of attack in Florida or something to basically stoke.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it was like the Cuban. They wanted him to strike Cuba, didn't they? And he said no.
And but they were going to say we were going to cause an attack on American soil to justify it. So this is like an idea that the CIA has frequently attempted to float.
Yeah.
Where they're like, can we kill a bunch of Americans and blame it on somebody else that we want to go be in an altercation with?
Yeah.
And that I can, like, when you look at it from that, like, it's possible that they were like, all right, we're going to orchestrate this attack, or we're going to help nurture this terrorist cell so that they can attack us and then use that as a reason to. And then I think you have to, like, I don't know why you would give Silverstein any.
I don't think it came directly through to Silverstein. I think that when you're in these circles of power, like, you just have friends of friends that, like, tell you things. Like, for example, I knew now was probably a good time to quit my job because I'm seeing people get laid off, which is telling me that the economy's starting to turn.
Right.
Yeah.
And that it's a good time to freelance. So jumping now makes sense because I'm like reading the signs. So like he's in a circle in which signs like that are all around him. So people are talking and saying things.
So do you think that someone like a close friend of him is like, listen, I heard something.
Probably.
I heard something is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hearing that there's going to be an attack on a major United States building.
Yeah.
You own the World Trade Center.
Yeah.
Maybe you should cover your bases.
Yes.
There are 2,000 billionaires in the world. So, and this guy's one of them.
Yeah. Whether or not you're going directly to him and being like, on September 11th, in the morning, a plane is going to fly into your building. It's like,
the word was on the street amongst a very elite group of people. Exactly. Some people were like, hey, see if you can get some like short options. On
exactly.
That. Like,
yeah.
Make it, like,
was anybody
it.
Else, did any other people take out that kind of insurance on their buildings around that time? Because that'd be interesting to know.
If someone
in Chicago did a similar thing.
I wouldn't doubt it. I bet. Has anyone dug into that? I haven't.
No, we don't really do research.
Yeah, we're not.
If anybody wants to research that, we'll say it out loud on the podcast.
Yeah, if it's true, because we only talk about it.
Yeah, if you're in, post on our subreddit. Let us know.
Yeah.
And, we'll be back for another episode.
Yeah.
Probably on this, it seems like.
Yeah, it seems like it. I think we can talk about this the rest of our
conspiracy
lives.
Conspiracy 9/11 me.
Okay. All right, listen, this has been Conspiracy Beer Me. I'm Justin Scranton.
I'm Shane Smith.
And I'm Sam Azan.